everyone. My name is Greg Knight. I'm the director of the Bethesda Center for Spirituality, and this is our Middle Way Spotlight podcast series. Once a month, we invite a priest, pastor, or religious thinker from around the country to have a conversation about a topic where faith meets life. These are live discussions recorded at our Wednesday night forum at the Church of Bethesda by the Sea in Palm Beach, Florida. I hope you'll support us by subscribing to our podcast on whatever podcast app you use. And if you like what you hear, please share the pod with your friends. We're excited about all the wonderful discussions we have featured on this podcast, and we want as many people to be part of the experience as possible. This episode was recorded on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, when we welcomed the Right Reverend Ann Ratonia, the Bishop Suffragan for the Armed Forces and Federal Ministries of the Episcopal Church. Bishop Ratonia joined us to discuss her work overseeing a global ministry to active military members, veterans, and prison ministries. She discussed the role chaplains play in these various institutions and the challenges and rewards of this unique ministry. It's a wonderful conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, here is our Middle Way Spotlight with Bishop Ann Ratonia. We'll start by saying welcome, everyone, to the Bethesda Middle Way for April 2024. My name is Greg Knight. I am the director of the Bethesda Center for Spirituality. With me is my partner, Jeff Beebe. Jeff, what do you do here at Bethesda?
I'm a priest on the staff here.
Nice. That's so much easier than my title. Yeah. Our special guest tonight is the Right Reverend Ann Ratonia. Bishop Ratonia served in the U.S. Marine Corps and Marine Corps Reserve for 17 years, where she held a variety of leadership and executive level positions throughout her military career. She is the recipient of the Navy Commendation Medal, the Navy Achievement Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, Meritorious Unit Commendations, and the Recruit Honor Graduate Award. And prior to being elected bishop, she served as the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. I reached out to Bishop Ratonia very early this year. I think maybe back in January, maybe even December. I don't know. But I went to invite her to join us for this conversation about chaplaincy work, armed forces work, all of that. And I remember thinking that we would set up the screen and she could join us via Zoom and we would do all of that stuff. And then she said, well, what if I just came down and joined you? And I thought, you could do that? You would do that? And so that's when I knew that we had a real go-getter on our hands, with someone that was going to fly down and join us for this conversation. So please join me in welcoming Bishop Ratonia. So, quick question to get us started. How did you experience a call to ministry to begin with? And then specifically, how did you experience this call to ministry with armed forces and federal ministries?
Well, my call to ministry started an awful long time ago when I was actually 7 years old, as a Roman Catholic. And I remember every time I went to church, I just had this experience of connection. But as a Roman Catholic, my choices were very limited. I could be a nun. And when I was 16, I decided that, well, I like boys. So I don't think that I'm cut out to be a religious at this point. So, but throughout growing up, I was always a music minister. So I was a musician. I played a horn. I sang. My sister and I used to do the folk masses to the horror of my friends and probably many of the parishioners when we pulled out the guitars, and developed musical skills, and so continued to be a musician, and ended up going to New England Conservatory of Music, continued to be a church music minister, and met with a Marine Corps recruiter who said that, well, when you graduate, if you want to be part of the president's own, if you enlist, you'll have a better chance of getting a position, because I heard the person who you'd want to replace is going to be retiring, which was a lie. So he did not retire, and I was Lance Corporal at that point, McKinnon, and going to the Armed Forces School of Music, and at that point decided that probably I didn't want to be marching and playing sousa marches for the rest of my career. So at that point, I put in for an officer candidate program and was selected and was part of the first integrated class of men and women training in Quantico together, which was eye-opening because as a musician, I was not very athletic, but I learned to run and do obstacle courses and all that fun stuff. For my first duty station, I ended up being part of the chapel community. And so wherever I went, I would be their music minister. And I'd provide music for the Roman Catholic services as well as the Protestant services. And really used my gifts in that way. So I see this call to ministry, and to this particular ministry, it's connected through many different strands of my life. When I was stationed in Okinawa, I was a young lieutenant, away from home for the first time. No support groups. I had the chapel there, and I fell in love. And 3 months later, we're talking about getting married. And so we went to see the chaplain, and the chaplain talked us out of it. Wow. And I was so grateful in retrospect. But seriously, a lot of kids go away from home for the first time, and you know, they go on liberty somewhere and they meet someone who they think they love and they get married, and then there's a whole host of problems that can happen, particularly for some of our junior service people. So this chaplain really embraced my former fiance Tom and I, and we really talked about what it was like to be in a committed adult relationship, and maybe this probably wasn't the time to make that quick of a decision, and then invited us to Bible study. And so, you know, we did those things. Tom and I eventually broke up, which I'm married to my husband Mike now for 38 years, who was also a Marine. But you know, I could see this, the important work that chaplains did. And so I eventually left active duty and went into the active reserves, and again continued to be a music minister as a Roman Catholic. I moved with my husband and my four children, and ended up working at a Roman Catholic church, and was asked by a woman Episcopal priest if I would be her music minister and her lay family minister. And so I was struggling a little bit with the fact that women couldn't be ordained in the Roman Catholic Church and that all baptized Christians weren't welcomed at the table. And so at that point I said, you know, I think I will go to work for you. And a Roman Catholic friend, a priest, told me, why don't you go to seminary as well while you're doing this, because you may be called to continue this work in a different way. And so I listened to both, and eventually went through a parish discernment process and was ordained a priest 15 years ago, and worked in various sized parishes, and then was asked to be part of a chaplain selection board member for military chaplains because of my military history. And so I worked with the Bishop for Armed Forces and Federal Ministries for 7 years as part of the chaplain selection team. And just really have a real heart for caring for our chaplains, because they do amazing work. And so when this position came open, a friend called and said, I want to put your name in for it. And I prayed about it, and I thought, I can do this work, and I think I'm being called to this work at this time. So that's how I got to where I am.
Wow.
With lots of steps in between.
Yeah. It's always fascinating to me, those journeys where it's like, I have an inkling for something, and then all of a sudden it feels like you're in the deep end of the water. It's like, well, go to seminary, become a priest. You know,
God works that way. Yeah.
So when it comes to chaplaincy work, I always think of that as sort of non-denominational or maybe ecumenical work. This idea that, well, as we saw in the video, this idea that you're caring for people who have all kinds of different religious backgrounds. Is there a heavy Episcopal presence amongst sort of military chaplains?
There is not.
Okay.
Actually, right now we have 114 Episcopal priests who are chaplains, and that's across the military. We've got 94, and then the rest are spread between the VA and the Bureau of Prisons. And it's, I would say the majority of military chaplains are pretty conservative. There are 2,000 Southern Baptist chaplains across the services, and we've got less than 100 Episcopal chaplains. And where that becomes challenging, particularly for our service members, those who are in the LGBTQIA community, because of the freedom, one of the roles of a chaplain is to provide for the free expression of religious practice or not for every member of the service. And that also means that chaplains whose denominations and their doctrine doesn't allow them to perform marriages or baptisms or provide care for LGBTQ service members, they just say, I can't. And so then what happens, they're supposed to facilitate a chaplain who can provide that kind of spiritual care, but we don't have enough. And so if you're stationed overseas and you want to get married or you've got a child that you'd like baptized, that chaplain may not be able to provide that spiritual care, and there's no Episcopal chaplain anywhere to do that work. And so, it's really interesting working in kind of that pluralistic environment. But our commanders love our Episcopal priests because they can take care of everybody. There's such a graciousness within our church that we're all God's beloved children. And so it's really, really beautiful to have Episcopal priests that can do that. So we need more. So part of my job is to recruit priests, but also to encourage vocations to the priesthood and to military chaplaincy.
Yeah.
Ed, thanks for coming. Question, between Operation Desert Shield and the evacuation of Afghanistan and beyond, we've seen multiple deployments and multiple lengthy deployments. And this has taken a huge toll, I know, on the special forces community, especially, but on everybody inclusively. How has chaplaincy changed with those kinds of deployment schedules and those kinds of conflicts far away from home?
Well, our chaplains are with their units, and so chaplains too are experiencing longer deployments. I've got a chaplain who is out on a carrier, and they were supposed to be out for 6 months, and then things kind of blew up in Ukraine and in Israel, and he's still out, and it's 16 months later.
Yeah.
And so chaplains are affected by that as well.
Yeah. Does it change the nature of ministry?
It does not. Uh-huh. You know, the nature of ministry does not change, other than you tend to do more counseling.
Yeah.
And so for most of our military members, the chaplain will probably be the first person that they will approach if they're having any kind of mental health or any kind of, well, obviously spiritual crisis. And so you may have heard this in the video, but the chaplain is the only person that a service member can go to where anything they say is 100% confidential. And so I was speaking to some chaplains that don't necessarily have the opportunity to celebrate the Eucharist every week. Sometimes it's months before they can celebrate Eucharist with the community. And so we're talking about, well, how do you live into this sacramental identity that we all have as priests of the church? And those conversations that are confidential, they're sacramental, they're reconciliation. They're like the confessional. And so, that's how they live into that.
Just to follow up, how much of the chaplaincy work is counseling in, and how much is sort of faith-directed, if you will?
I'd say probably 60% is counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And currently, and the Navy and the Army are doing an exceptional job with this. They've got care teams where you'll have a chaplain, you'll have a mental health provider who's actually embedded with the unit and deploying with them. You'll have somebody from the medical team as well as family services, and they work together as a team to care for the total service member. And I've seen that working really well, particularly in the Navy.
When it comes to your office and you're looking at all of the responsibilities that it is that you cover, what percentage would you say your work involves active military? What percentage is veterans? What percentage is sort of the other federal, like prison ministry and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
How does that pie kind of get sliced up?
I'd say probably 10% of my time is spent with the veterans, VA chaplains, and Bureau of Prisons, and 90% is with my military chaplains. Like a diocesan bishop, you have to do visitations, and so within a 3-year period, I should be visiting all of my chaplains, and since I have a majority of military chaplains, that's where I spend most of my time.
Wait, but your chaplains are deployed around the world.
That's right.
So you're flying around the world.
So I am flying around the world. So my diocese is worldwide. So in May, I'm going to, I've got four chaplains in Hawaii right now. I've got a chaplain in Japan. I've got three chaplains in one in Okinawa, three in Japan, and so in May I'm going on about a three-week trip to visit all of them to do confirmations. I'm the only one that's authorized to do confirmations on a federal installation. So the first week in May I'm going to Fort Bliss and I'm confirming eight soldiers, which is really awesome.
Do you have chaplains at Fort Leavenworth?
We don't have one stationed there right now. There are chaplains there, but we don't have an Episcopal chaplain there. But I do have an Episcopal priest who just retired from the Navy as a Navy captain, who is serving at a church right outside of Leavenworth, and so he's able to provide some services for Episcopals that are on the base at Leavenworth.
Very nice, very nice.
I'm sort of curious. So active military, that sort of makes sense. That's sort of a contained community. I'm just wondering if your office, are you in the business of making resources for people, resources for your chaplains, I'm sure, but even with parishes, is there a way for us to tap into whatever the work is that your office is doing?
You know, currently, obviously there are challenges with resources, and so I've got three people in my office. And we've got a worldwide ministry, and we've got to recruit, we've got to support, and then we've got an entire veterans network who really need parishes to help. And we're working with somebody at the national church level just to really take a look at what we can do for veterans. So there are, you know, right now what I'm doing is kind of bridge building and working with a few dioceses that have really good veterans programs to see if we can kind of put a veterans program in a box that we can facilitate parishes to be able to support veterans and military in their local communities. I'm encouraging all of my chaplains who serve on military bases to send their Episcopalians and their soldiers, sailors, airmen, coasties out into the local community to go to church if they're interested in that. You go onto a base chapel on a Sunday morning and it's a little depressing. Mm-hmm. A rack is much more enticing or bed than going to chapel on Sunday mornings on a base when it's just a generic kind of Protestant chapel. So I really do encourage folks to go out into the community, and it's especially important when our folks deploy, because the family's left behind and they don't have as many support systems as they could have. And I think our parishes are really well equipped to be that support for our military families, as well as for our veterans. You know, veterans are really struggling. You know, we've got a real problem in our country right now with Christian nationalism, and it's not military members, but it's our veterans who are kind of being drawn into this. And so if we can provide them space in our parishes where maybe we might have a little bit of a different narrative, I think it could be really helpful.
Yeah, I was thinking that veterans work strikes me as, I mean, that's where a lot of spiritual healing work probably needs to happen. And we've been talking, a lot of our conversations in these middleweight conversations that we've had, where we've been bringing in guest speakers, a common theme amongst them, it feels like, has been this idea of healing. And how do we experience healing from tragedy? How do we experience healing from historical events, things like that? What are some challenges that you face as far as that sort of seeking healing for the people that you work with? And what are some rewards that you receive from your work?
I would say that almost every service member, no matter where they've served, has experienced some kind of soul injury. And so our church is especially equipped to help with this. When we think about reconciliation, a lot of times just creating space where people can talk about their woundedness gives them the opportunity to kind of bring all that out of the darkness so that they can heal. And that's the work of our chaplains. I mean, they really do talk to our service members who are suffering from soul injury. Right now, if you look at our 18 to 26-year-olds who are in the military, our 18-year-olds all experienced COVID, trauma. Many of our service members, they go in to maybe better themselves. They're coming from, not all, but many are coming from poverty. They may be in, grew up in places where there was trauma in their family. There was injustice that they had to deal with. And so they bring all of these things into the service with them. And so our chaplains are able to address some of those hurts and provide resources.
Is there a system, and you know, when you see people come out of a service, separate, mm-hmm. oftentimes you can sort of just tell, they'll tell you, they'll talk about PTSD. Mm-hmm. And there's the nature of modern warfare with automatic weaponry. There's a great deal of traumatic head injury that's mm-hmm. undiagnosed and sort of precipitates PTSD mm-hmm. and those syndromes. Mm-hmm. Do the Chaplain Corps, can they spot this? Is it something you look for? Is it something you can help people transition out of service?
You know, it's really interesting, the idea of PTSD. You can identify it, and then you can suggest that service members get help. While they're on active duty, many are really reticent to seek help because it might mean the end of their career in the military and the support of their family. And when they get out, if they don't have all of these things identified as part of their discharge physical, to get into the VA system is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we, you know, if you talk to your legislators, our VA is really hurting right now. As an example, my husband hurt his back and his knees when he was on active duty many years ago, and he's now seeing some of those problems. He started a VA claim 18 months ago and just got a letter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday. So our veterans can't get the help that they need, and if they don't identify that they need help before they leave the service, it becomes extremely difficult.
Yeah.
The increased risk of suicide amongst our younger service members has been skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And chaplains are frontline folks, you know, have to actually go and identify bodies and then talk to the members of the units who are, you know, who may have witnessed these events. And so that's just all soul work and,
yeah.
and soul care. And so then they call me, and then I listen to their stories. And then we talk about, you know, what kind of support they're going to need from me. So a lot of my job is pastoral care for my chaplains.
Could we talk for a minute about suicide?
Yes.
Is that it seems to me that suicide is one of the leading causes of death for veterans over 50 and has been growing at a rapid rate for veterans under 50 years of age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a case, a friend of ours comes to mind, Mike Day, special operator. I don't know if you know this individual. Shot 27 times. He eventually took his own life. And he's not untypical with that kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
How does the Chaplain Corps work with seeing potential for suicide or seeing that kind of syndrome that would take place? What does the Chaplain Corps do about that, if anything?
All they can do is talk to the service members, and if they identify that something's going on with that person, then they would refer them to mental health, and they would, you know, be working with them. But some of these guys are so good at just covering it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a call last week. Somebody at one of the recruit training commands at the infantry training school snuck around off of the rifle range and killed himself. And particularly for our younger folks, they're more fragile than they used to be. And coming out of the pandemic, with social media, they're more isolated. And when they go into recruit training, they take their phones away. And that's like cutting off a limb for some of these kids. And the Navy's actually starting to do something about that. They're actually allowing their recruits to keep their cell phones so they feel at least connected, and allowing them some time to use them to see if they can do something about the suicide rate. But our young people in general are just more fragile.
Yeah.
Well, it strikes me that, I mean, that's honestly where the chaplaincy work really, it provides relationship.
Yes.
for these men
isolated.
And women that don't have relationship, that are in isolation.
Yeah. And yeah. don't know how to make relationships. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the other piece. If you think of our young people, you know, with social media, and it's a blessing, and it's also a curse, because they don't know how to build relationships, which is why it's really important the work you're doing here at the church with your young people is really encouraging those one-on-one relationships and with all of you as well, not just with each other. You know, those things have to be learned, and it's just sometimes easier to kind of ignore it.
Yeah. Is there a way for volunteers to do sort of advocacy work on behalf of veterans? Because it feels like there's an institution and you don't want to get in the way of the institution, kind of. But it also seems like people need to speak up
absolutely.
For others.
Yeah. And there are some things that parishes can do. There's an organization called the Military Chaplains Association. And if you go to their website, you can register as a military and veterans-friendly church. You can put a sign out front that says, "We are military veteran friendly." On Memorial Day, on Veterans Day, have some kind of a service that honors our veterans and our military folks, because they see that and it makes a difference. Once a month, sponsor a dinner for military families and veterans. You can volunteer at your VA hospital. See who might need a ride that's a veteran. They're just kind of common sense kinds of things that we can do. But just putting on your website, if there's a Marine Corps birthday is November 10th, happy Marine Corps birthday on your Facebook page. There are all sorts of different military anniversaries, things that you can lift up and celebrate in the community.
If you had two wishes.
Not three?
No, two. For military chaplaincy in your job, what would you want to see happen?
I would like to have a recruiter with me who can share some of the load of the work that has to be done. And I would like to encourage more, see more vocations to both the priesthood and to military chaplaincy.
Okay.
That's
good.
So I need help in the office.
Yeah.
And I think as we see, what we're doing with our resources and what the mission of the church is how we're using our resources aligning with the job that God has called us to do.
Yeah.
To love one another, to visit the sick, to visit the prisoner, to feed the hungry. Are we doing that work? And I think that my office does that. And we equip people and prepare them to go out and do that work in very special situations and environments.
Number two.
Ooh. I would like more Bureau of Prison chaplains.
Mm. Yeah.
Right now, there's a shortage of, there are like 244 federal prisons, and we need about another 200 Bureau of Prison Chaplains. And talk about God's work. There's some of the most difficult environments. And I really do think that chaplaincy is going to be the future of the church. We see it in people not coming to church, and we need to get outside of our doors. And chaplains do that. They're with people. They're kind of that be with factor. Mm-hmm. So...
I know that our time is starting to run short, and I want to make sure that we have the opportunity to have questions from those who are with us today. But I do want to ask just one question before we sort of open it up, which is, where do you see the gospel being lived out in the work that you do?
Oh, my gosh. I particularly see it with our military chaplains just sharing Christ's love by letting our service members know that they are beloved children of God, and that isn't the message that they necessarily get at home, or they get in their workplaces, or they even get from some other chaplain. So I see that in big ways. And with our prison chaplains, really difficult environments, and they are in there every day risking their lives to bring the gospel to such an incarnational way. And that really is chaplaincy. It's incarnational ministry. You are with folks and you are Christ, and sharing Christ's love with all of those people. Our VA chaplains, the work that they do, particularly with working with PTSD and a lot of substance abuse, our VA chaplains they're all heroes as far as I'm concerned. I watch that video and I tear up every time I see it, because I'm so proud of our chaplains, and we just need more.
Thank you to everyone who made this recording possible, especially our guests, the Right Reverend Anne Ratonia. This conversation concludes our first season of Offerings. Look for a new slate of guests coming up in the fall and spring of 2024, 2025. The Bethesda Center for Spirituality is a ministry of the Church of Bethesda by the Sea in Palm Beach, Florida. You can find us on the web at bbts.org and on the socials at bbtschurch. Drop us a line. Let us know what you thought of this pod. And please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast offerings on your preferred podcast service. The more reviews we get, the more people will be able to find us on Google searches and the like. Take care, and we will see you next time.